This is Vermont Edition. I'm Peter Hirschfeld, in for Jane Lindholm. We have all seen the news headlines by now about Vermont cheesemakers taking home prestigious titles in national and international cheese competitions. Just this week, Jasper Hill's Little Hosmer was a major winner at the World Cheese Champion, given the title The Best New Cheese. Little Hosmer and Vermont Creamery's Cremant were both awarded Super Gold medals, which means they're among the top 66 cheeses in the world. Sure, we all know cheeses taste different and some are better than others, but what actually makes cheese an award winner? And what are the exceptional textures, flavors, and aromas? And where do they come from? Joining us now is Dr. Paul Kinstedt, professor in UVM's Department of Nutrition and Food Sciences, and an expert in the fields of cheese history and the chemistry of cheese. Professor Kinstedt, welcome.
Pleasure to be here, Peter.
So is there something fundamental about cheese that makes it so delicious to humans? Just something, whether it's the flavor, the mouthfeel, something about it. Everybody loves cheese, right?
Yes, almost everybody. It's partly culturally informed, but cheese, all of the above, the appearance, the flavor, the texture, the aroma. It's such a complex food, and it has so many variations and nuances of differences that it's endlessly interesting. And I always say that if I were on a desert island for 20 years and couldn't eat anything, if I had a good aged cheddar cheese, I'd be happy.
In a refrigerator, presumably.
You don't even need that with a good aged cheddar.
Really?
It's really robust. Yeah.
Have you been able to figure out why Vermont has such a vibrant artisanal cheese movement?
Well, I'll tell you, I think, you know, there's a lot of ingredients that go into Vermont cheesemaking success, and it's been extraordinary. I mean, this little tiny state is unbelievable, but the primary ingredient, in my view, is this density or concentration of unbelievably talented cheesemakers. It's the human element. You know, we talk a lot about terroir and you know, the effect of the physical and natural environment on cheese, and, you know, nuances of flavor and you know, a taste of place. But I would argue that in particular for Vermont, it's a taste of person. These wonderful cheesemakers that we attract and retain here in Vermont, and we have this, you know, fantastic quality of life and place that people want to live in, and we have this wonderful culture, a foodie culture that we've been sort of ahead of the curve for four decades in Vermont in terms of good food and local food and public support of that. We have a cheesemaker culture that is just unparalleled, I think, in terms of sort of collegiality and a sense of community among the cheesemakers. I mean, you have direct competitors that are good friends with each other and that like to get together. I mean, how many businesses can you say that's characteristic of? We have a regulatory culture that is, you know, has been tremendous for four decades. The Vermont Agency of Ag and the Secretary of Ag have always looked at, you know, Vermont cheesemaking and supported innovations and sort of going in the opposite direction of the flow for many years in terms of small is beautiful when small wasn't viewed as being beautiful largely throughout the country. And that makes a huge difference in terms of finding win-win solutions to very difficult regulatory problems. And then we have a political culture on top of that and a congressional delegation that has been, you know, just wonderfully supportive in terms of policy development and, you know, trying to head off major problems that can develop at the national level, the policy level, and so forth. So all those things, I think, work together to make this a little state of ours a wonderful place for cheesemakers to do business. And we've attracted absolutely stellar, unbelievably talented individuals that come here and make cheese.
So let's dive in a little bit to the chemistry and science of what makes a cheese great. You mentioned cheddar earlier, an aged cheddar, if you were stuck on a desert island for 20 years, and I think that's the quintessential Vermont cheese in a lot of folks' minds. What makes cheddar great?
Well, it's this wonderful cheese that is never the same. It's always changing. And so if you're submitting cheese to, you know, some of these competitions that you mentioned, the competition always has cheddar and other cheeses that are ripened or aged into categories based on age, because the complexity of flavor of a less than 12-month-old cheddar is completely different than a 12 to 24 month old cheddar, which is completely different than a, you know, 2 to 4 year old cheddar, and so things are constantly changing, and you know, to really appreciate cheddar cheese, one has to, you know, consider the age of the cheese, and you know, become versed in some of the elements of flavor and texture and how they can vary, and yet be so wonderful. And again, it's very complex. It's the result of the breakdown or the transformation during ripening of protein and fat in cheese and other, you know, residual carbohydrates. It's complicated. It's enzymology, it's microbiology, and it's physical chemistry, all working in concert in almost an infinite number of variations, depending on you know, the cheesemaker's expertise, the milk and the type of milk and the environment in which the cheese is made, the natural microbiota of the farm and the cheese cheesemaking environment.
And so what are the makers of those phenomenal cheddars, the world's best, doing differently than the folks that are making a more mediocre product?
Well, one of the things they're doing in Vermont is we tend to attract and retain innovators and entrepreneurs and risk takers, in the sense that they've been blazing the trail for 40 years. You know, I've watched this, and Vermont cheesemakers have gotten into categories of cheese that at the time were unthinkable in the United States. You know, washed rind type of cheese, very tricky to make, very very you know, technically challenging. And Vermont is this wonderful epicenter of washed rind or smear-ripened cheese making. Same thing with bloomy rind or white mold type cheese making. Really, really difficult and tricky. And Vermont cheesemakers consistently have been ambitious and blazing the trail in doing things differently and innovatively. There's, you know, there's so many examples that you can give of individual cheesemakers all over the state that have just pushed the boundaries in so many different ways.
Last thing I want to ask you, Dr. Kinstedt, is for people that want to cultivate a deeper personal appreciation for cheese, what are some things, whether it's flavor notes or whatever, that you would encourage them to pay attention to the next time they bite into that $25 a pound cheese that they're splurging on?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, concentrate on the flavor and aroma. If it's a cheddar, for example, there's you know, five or six major different aspects of flavor. It's sulfur, you know. The best anchor you can think of there is a boiled egg type aroma that if it's excessive, it's a defect, but it's there in very low levels. It can be very, very positive. Free fatty acids, which are what cause rancidity. If you think about baby vomit, if you've had children, if those, that same nuance of sort of piquant flavor can be, you know, very positive. Brothy or meaty type background flavor. Even in cheddar, there's a nuance of flavor called cat urine. It doesn't sound very appealing, but if you've ever cleaned a cat box, there's a particular aroma. And that can often be in cheese. At low levels, it's actually quite pleasant. Fruity, cow-y.
Well, Dr. Kinstedt, you have no doubt whetted the appetites of cheese lovers everywhere who may now be stuck with those impressions, but maybe we'll learn to appreciate them. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it.
Sure thing.